Next is my talk here. I'm going to focus on biochar, its use in vegetable production. And I need to watch my time because I'm watching time for everybody else. This research was done at the Muscatine Island Research Farm at Iowa State University. It's a sandy soil, 0.5% organic matter, so pretty low when it comes to organic matter. Biochar. There's a lot of enthusiasm around biochar. A lot of people want to use it, homeowners, commercial growers, but still we need more information on how effectively we can use this product so that it helps our cropping systems, especially vegetables. Biochar is a form of carbon, which can be made by heating organic matter in a limited oxygen atmosphere. It's called pyrolysis. It can be made from different sources. Usually if you buy a biochar right now from a company, you would be getting biochar made out of hardwood, and basically it's oak-based biochar. But there is research going on looking into corn stover, miscanthus, and how we can make biochar using those resources. Another big benefit which we often talk about when using biochar is carbon sequestration. You are adding carbon to the soil, which is going to be there for years and years and years. It's not going to break down very quickly. Anybody wants to take a guess what the half-life of carbon is for biochar? It's a guess. You can, any number. 10,000 years. Anybody else? 10,001, 10,002, 10,003? Okay. But actually, it's 1,400 years for the half-life of carbon. And if you compare it with manure or compost, it's only like 8 years or 10 years. So it's going to be there in the soil for a long time. My farm superintendent told me that if you're putting biochar at the plot, make sure you stay with Iowa State for a long, long time, because he wants to make sure that plot is being utilized. And we all thought that this was new. This is from Pennsylvania Farm Journal in 1852. Biochar was, you know, being used or at least being mentioned as a source for fertility and crop management long time back. So this is nothing new. We are just getting back to it and looking at it with a more fine comb tooth. Pyrolysis, as I mentioned, that's the process which we utilize to make biochar. Thermal decomposition of organic compounds in the absence of oxygen, and temperature is a must. We need to maintain at least 350 to 600 degrees Celsius to obtain biochar. One would also ask, what is the difference between charcoal which you buy to go camp and cook and biochar? Temperature is one of the difference, and the other thing is the char that is intended to be used for agricultural purposes is called biochar. So that's a vague definition for biochar there. But the temperature and how you make it, slow pyrolysis, fast pyrolysis, what's the source, that determines what the quality of the biochar you have. So I like Family Guy, so I thought I'd put Stewie there. Knowing how to apply, how much to apply, those are some important questions that need to be addressed, especially if we are talking about applying biochar on a large-scale commercial production scale. Just like NPK or liming agents, biochar can have negative impacts if not used appropriately or wisely, so one needs to be careful. And that was the premise of setting up this experiment. What does it look like? That's a question which we often get. This is the type of biochar we used in our research plots. It's very much similar like perlite or vermiculite, what you use in greenhouse transplant production medium. That's the texture, that's the size of the particles. Although you can buy biochar in different sizes. It can go all the way from size number 2, number 3, 4, 6, 10, 20. We use the size number 20 for our research. But as you keep going up, number 80 and then the fine, that's just like you open the box and it's gone. It just flies up in the air. So better not to work with that biochar. Size 10 and 20 is what we have found is more easy to work with. Just quickly mentioning about the nutrient properties of biochar, not very high in N, P, and K. You can see the biochar is made from green waste, about 0.1%. Wood is 1%, poultry litter about 2%, a little higher. But when it comes to P and K, not a very high source. So not primarily used for fertility basis, but in the long run, it might come handy. It helps with the microbial activity in the soil and the biomass, and I'll share some data about that. So these are our plot at the Muscatine Island Research Farm in Fruitland, Iowa. Vince Lawson, my collaborator, he's the farm superintendent. We were applying biochar in different plots. The treatments which we, and you can see the plots here, this is the highest rate. We have a control plot. The rates which we used was a control treatment, no biochar at all, 2.5 tons per acre, 5 tons per acre, and 10 tons per acre. So we just applied it using bucket. We weighed what a bucket would weigh and come out with the calculation of how much for that particular area, and so that we can uniformly apply rather than just coming up with a big lump. So we used a lot of buckets calibrated that need to go in those individual plots. We disked the biochar in after application and then planted a chipping potato cultivar, name is Atlantic. In Fruitland area in Iowa, there was a time when potato was big, the chipping cultivars, especially Atlantic. Now it's going down, but there are still growers in the area who grow potatoes for the chipping industry. This is how the plots look like after 9 weeks after planting. You can see this is the control treatment. We have four rows. Two middle rows are the data rows. The other side rows are the guard rows. This is the control treatment. I want to take a look at the picture of how the plant size differed, and these pictures were taken on the same day. This is the control plot. You see the difference between those rows, right? 2.5 tons per acre. Plants are looking a little bit more bigger than the control. 5 tons per acre and 10 tons per acre. So, and we did go and measure the width. We do see visual differences, but when we did the analysis, we did not find any statistically significant difference, but there is a difference, like, as you go from control and all the way up to the 10 tons per acre treatment. Potato was harvested. It took us about 90 days, maybe 100 days. The potato was seeded 1 year in the first year, 2012, April 12th, the other year on April 22nd, and harvested end of July, beginning of August. We use a potato digger, which is right there in the picture, up here, and then we came back and we just picked our potatoes, put it in crates, and took it back for grading and recording the data. This is the potato out of the field. We brought it back and then graded based on size, and also we were interested in quality, so primarily focusing on potato scab. And this is what potato scab looks like, caused by Streptomyces scabies. And soils which have high pH could have issues. There were some plots, even our plot where we were working, we had some issues with scab in the past. So that's why we were interested if biochar has any effect on reducing scab in potato. We controlled the weeds with herbicide. We use Dual Magnum for insecticides. We use Mustang Max, which is Zeta-Cypermethrin. So we were able to stay up on the weed and disease pressure. This is the data now. From now, you can see we also installed some temperature sensors, because biochar being black, being incorporated into the soil, there could be some differences in how the soil is heating up. But we did not find much of a difference. The curve is pretty tight between all these treatments, so cannot differentiate between differences in temperature because of the addition of biochar. This is the effect of biochar on soil pH. Now, how is the biochar changing the soil pH depending on the rates we applied? 2012 and 2013, you can see NS, no significant difference. This is based on a Fisher's protected LSD, so if there is no significance, we are not doing the mean separation. So no significance in soil pH. You look at the electrical conductivity, no significance there the first year. Second year, we did see that adding of biochar did increase the pH based on the rate. So if you go with 10 tons per acre, the pH was 5.9, whereas if it was controlled, it was 5.3. So there was some effect of biochar on the pH. No effect on the electrical conductivity second year as well. And I want to you to take a look at the pH, how it differed between years. We have 2012, more in the 6, and 2013, and more in the 5 range. And you will see how that affected the scab in our treatments. This is the amount, the concentration of other nutrients. We analyzed the soil for P, K, calcium, and magnesium. Statistically, no significant difference for any of those treatments between control or any of the higher rates. We do see that the bar for the calcium is pretty high, which is what we would expect because biochar is high in calcium. And as the rate goes up, you do see that the calcium amount in the soil is higher. So the 10 tons per acre rate, we have more calcium in the soil. So certainly some effect on the nutrients, especially calcium. This table here shows you the yield and also the non-marketable weight categorized into two categories, scab and cull, which is non-marketable other than scab. And you can see 2012 data, unfortunately the clicker is not working that well, the pointer, but 2012, we did not see any significant difference in yield, which we kind of thought is good. Because if you read literature, you will always see that the first 2 years or 3 years after incorporating biochar in the soil, you do see a yield decline. That's because the biochar holds on to the nitrogen so tight that it's not available to the plant. We did not see any significant difference, although you do see that with the 2.5 ton, the marketable number of potatoes and the marketable weight also goes up a little bit and then starts going down after that or starts coming down. So 2.5 tons per acre could be something to focus more on. Look at the scab, no difference with biochar in 2012. The cull potatoes, also no difference. 2013, again, no significant difference in marketable number or marketable weight. But you could, if you compare the marketable weight between 2012 and 2013, huge difference, almost doubled. And if you remember the pH was lower in 2013. So that really helped with less amount of potatoes going into this category, whereas more going into scab the previous year. So pH is definitely important when it comes to managing scab. No statistically significant differences between any of the treatments. We did bring some soil back to the lab, looking more on biology. So we do this analysis called the community level physiological profiling using biolog ecoplates. Each cell here has a different substrate. We put in the soil extract in those cells. If those soils had microbes that can digest the carbon substrate in that particular well, it will change color. So the more color you have, which means your soil is more diverse. We did not see any clear pattern emerging. We do see there is more activity or more microbes that can eat substrates which are in these cells, and that's actually carboxylic acids and amino acids. So at this point, we cannot clearly say that the biochar is increasing the diversity of microorganisms. There is some effect. Maybe there is some increase in the type of bacteria that can catabolize carboxylic acid and amino acids. So still, we cannot clearly say, but this is some area which we are interested in. We also looked at the total microbial biomass, so not just the diversity, but the microbial biomass. And again, we did not find any statistically significant difference, although we do see that with the higher rate of biochar application, the microbial biomass is higher. So there's more carbon in that soil, more carbon trapped in the microbes in the higher biochar treatment. So that is something promising. So in summary, no yield reduction observed, which is good. We'll see, these are 2 years of results. We are now on a crop rotation basis, we are growing sweet potato and cabbage in those plots. We'll come back with potato after 4 years, so we are on a 4 year rotation. We'll see how it goes those years. So far things looking good. 5-10 per acre showing some promise in terms of increasing yield. And microbial biomass showing an upward trend with increasing biochar rate, and that needs to be investigated a little bit more. With that, I would like to thank my grads and undergrads, and you know we are not all about research, always having fun too in the field. This is the cabbage plot from this year, from last year, from the same biochar plot, my grad students. After we harvested, there was a competition of who puts the cabbage on their head for the longest amount of time. And the person who doesn't will take the picture, and you can see who's missing in the picture. So I lost there. But thank you to all the grads and the undergrads and the funding agencies, Practical Farmers of Iowa, Iowa Fruit and Vegetable Growers Association, IDALS, Leopold, SARE, Without the support from these agencies, this work would not be possible. And all the grad students and the farm superintendents as well. My information, I do have a lab webpage. We have all the research reports and everything in the lab website, so feel free to visit that. I have exactly about a minute to answer questions. Sir?
Where did you obtain your biochar?
Good question. Where did we get the biochar? A biochar is, the industry is not yet willing to donate biochar to you, so unfortunately we have to buy. We bought our biochar from a company called Royal Oaks. They are based in Georgia. The cost, that's also another question which is more relevant. For a 50-pound bag of biochar, you will pay $18. The reason we go with that company is that it's very standardized. When you open a bag, every bag is uniform in content, in the quality. So we went with that company. Although there's more competition now, companies in Minnesota and other places who are getting into the biochar business. So maybe we'll be able to test some more biochar. But that's what it costs. Sir?
That's quick math. That's 14,000 an acre for 2.5 acres.
It is really expensive, yeah. So it is cost prohibitive. Now, in the long run, you know, how would that matter? Studies on herbicides, nitrogen leaching. We did some studies with lice emitters, not in this research, but with pepper, and we did find that higher rates of biochar did not allow too much of nitrogen to leach. So a good nutrient reduction strategy for Iowa, we are trying to limit the amount of nitrogen we send to Louisiana and the Gulf of Mexico. So something, you know, more environmental basis, it might come handy. Sir? Biochar pH largely depends upon the temperature of pyrolysis and the time of pyrolysis. In general, the biochar pH is anywhere between 8 to 8.5. So it can be used to as a liming agent, although I'll be very careful because if the pyrolysis was not done properly and the pH and the temperature was not appropriate, you can find biochar with the pH of 4.5. So it varies, but in general it's between 8 to 8.5. I think I'm done with my time, but I'll be more than happy to answer questions after the session. Thank you very much.